Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 8, where that clip is basically taken from. Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 4. Those who have been scattered preach the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had been practicing sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Father, we ask this morning just to continue to speak into our hearts, to build our faith, to glorify Christ. Lord, help us to hear from you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we want to share concerning the triumphant kingdom. One of the things that it's easy to see as we read the book of Acts is to see the conflict between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And that clip was just trying to show a little bit of that, with Simon the magician calling upon his trickery and calling upon his sorcery to try and help. But Philip, through the name of Jesus Christ, was able to cause this woman to experience the kingdom of God invading her life and setting her free. When I came from Jamaica to this country, for some reason I thought that, you know, in Jamaica we have a lot of witchcraft, and so, you know, spiritual warfare only occurs in Jamaica. But in America, I mean, there are no evil spirits here. In America we're all civilized and we're all intellectual. There's no such thing as spiritual beings in America. They're all back in Jamaica. In fact, I remember sharing a testimony once about some things that happened in the life of my wife and I, and how God intervened and set us free. And one pastor commented, "Isn't it great how God can set people free down there in the dark Jamaica?" Because the darkness is only in places like Jamaica, but not here in this beautiful country. But over the years of being here, I've come to realize that that is not true. I've come to realize that this country is just as dark as all the other countries that are out there. That the enemy is working his way in the lives of people right here in this country as he is in other countries out there. In fact, just this past spring, I taught a class, Religions of the World, and there in my class was one young man who claims that he's a witch. He's a practitioner in Wicca. And so he claims that he gives blessing. And so I said to him, "Well, for me, I only want blessings that come to me in the name of Jesus Christ." And his response was, "A blessing is a blessing. It doesn't really matter where it comes from." And I helped him to realize that, not for me. I only want blessings that come to me in the name of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, our society is of such that many people don't understand that there are two kingdoms that war. Many people don't understand that there's a kingdom of God and a kingdom of the devil. And so they go back and forth thinking that it's all the same thing. But friends, how many know it's not? It's not. In fact, several years ago, I remember, and I can spend all morning just talking, but about just stories. But I remember we were having a little prayer meeting at a church here in town on a Saturday night. And one young man came to that prayer meeting. And at the end of the meeting, when we were praying, he said, "Will you pray for me? I'm struggling with some things and I want to get free." That's all he said. "I want to get free." And as we laid our hands upon him, the power of God came upon him. He fell. And as we were praying for him, this thing spoke out of him and said, "He's mine. I'm not letting him go." This is right in a church a spirit-filled church that this thing occurred. And so we prayed for him, rebuked this thing, and released him, set him free. And what I want us to realize, my friends, is that we're in the middle of spiritual warfare. And each one of us, you and I, we need to learn how to stand upon the word of God, how to proclaim the word of God, how to set people free, and how to walk in freedom. And we need to know the difference between the things of God and the things of the enemy. We are living in some serious times. And so, I just want to spend a few minutes this morning, several minutes of sharing, just reminding us of some stuff. First, about the kingdom of darkness. Satan's kingdom. Sometimes called the dominion of darkness. In Colossians 1, Paul talks about us being translated, being transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. And so those who are outside of Christ, those who are seeking to live their own way, don't realize that you're not really doing your own thing. You're functioning according to the works of darkness. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians that there's a spirit of that's at work in the children of disobedience. Those who are disobedient to the word of God, the spirit of the enemy is at work inside of them. And this spirit enslaves people to sin and to all sort of destructive activities. In the clip we just saw, we saw a woman being set free. She was afflicted by a satanic spirit, by a demonic spirit. That's what it says there in Acts chapter 8, verse 7. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. That's New Testament Christianity. Unclean spirits affect people in various ways. Sometimes with physical illnesses. In Luke chapter 13, there's a woman who was bent over in pain. And Jesus set her free. Jesus rebuked the spirit that kept her in bondage, that kept her bent over. And that illness for that woman was caused by the spirit. Not all illnesses are caused by spirits, but there are some that are. A lot of mental illnesses. And what do? Well, in a sophisticated society, we medicate them. And we medicate them. And we medicate them some more. And they live their lives just on medication. Because, friends, how many of you know that medication can't set people free from satanic bondage? And so rather than saying to people, don't know what's happening to you, they just give them more and more medication. People hearing voices telling them to do destructive things. Now, who do you think is telling them to do that? And so what we do is medicate them. And so in psychology, there was a time when psychologists could refer to things as being spiritual. Nowadays, they can't, or else they lose their license. There was a situation in Springfield several years ago with a psychologist who discerned that after talking to this person, counseling them for months, that this thing was satanic, and praying for the person, they got free. Suddenly, it became a big thing. And now he was brought up to explain how does this fit into counseling and therapy. But friends, believe me, there are some things that can only be dealt with by the power of Almighty God. It says in Acts chapter 10 that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All manner of oppression. In the kingdom of darkness, Satan sometimes gives people supernatural abilities. And so in Acts 16, which we mentioned the last time, there was this slave girl who had a spirit of divination, who was able to tell people about their past and to predict the things for the future. And she made a lot of money for her masters. But when Paul set her free, she lost that ability because the ability came from the devil himself. And witchcraft has been increasing in this nation. I don't know if you realize it, But witchcraft has been increasing in this nation. When we lived in New Jersey, there was down a road from us, a woman who set up her own little business to give psychic readings. Wicca and all these people sometimes have conferences where they set their own booth and they try and read people's lives and predict. And they play tarot cards and all sort of stuff. Because people are intrigued. And people say that they are spiritual, but they really don't want to follow Jesus Christ. And so if you're spiritual and you want to relate to the spirit realm outside of Christ, who do you think you're relating to? I mean, it's either you're relating to Jesus or you're relating to the enemy of Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral area out there. I remember a good friend of mine. She had her own business right here in Lebanon. And one day she called me because a young woman came into her business. And this young woman was starting to share some experiences she was having. Of things just falling off her wall and her piano just starting to play at home. And so this woman called me. Because you see, when people are in real trouble, they know who to turn to. My wife can tell you how many parents come into her office telling her that their children are seeing things in the house. And people in the house. This is not in Jamaica now. This is right here in Lebanon, Missouri. And parents don't have a clue what to do. And even some churches, they don't know what to tell the people. But the Bible makes it clear it's the works of darkness, and we need to teach our people how to stand upon the word and to take authority in the house and let the enemy know that this place is not for him.
That's right. Amen.
And so this woman came into the lady's practice, and the lady sent for me, and I came down, and she was saying that she moved into her apartment. I think she lived in St. Robert. And this thing was holding her down on the bed, and so she made a bargain with it. Because she had wanted to get this thing out. And she said to this thing that, if you will release me, then I'll allow you to stay here. And so the thing released her. And for a while, the thing was friendly to her. And after a while, the thing became violent. And that was what was happening in her house, in her little apartment. So we started to pray for her. And suddenly this thing manifested itself. And we're able to pray for her and set her free. Friends, these things are real. There was a young man several years back. This was back in Jamaica. In the early days of the HIV AIDS scare. He was a homosexual. He got AIDS. His sister came to our church, and so through his sister, we spoke with him, and he gave his life to Christ, became a believer. He realized that he didn't have much time left. And a couple nights after he gave his life to Christ, he called early in the morning, wanting prayer. He said there were three spirits that came and was lying beside him in the bed and was fighting with him all night. And so we were able to go and pray for him and bring freedom. And so many of these things that we see around us, many of these perverted things that we're trying to accept as being normal, is satanic.
Amen.
Trust me. When God made man, he made male and female, X and Y chromosome, XX chromosome. How can you become a transgender person? That's the devil who brings confusion to the lives of people and tell them all sort of lies, and we're trying to make it seem as if it is normal. It's not.
Right.
It's satanic. Trust me. You're either a male or female. All you have to do is to do a simple test and you'll know if you're a male or female.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how you feel. You line yourself up with what you are. So we're in the middle of spiritual warfare. The enemy comes into our homes and harasses our kids, comes into our schools and do all sort of stuff. And Christians don't have a clue what to do. In Acts chapter 13, we have a situation of Paul dealing with someone who was opposing the gospel. Acts chapter 13 and verse 7. Talks about this man named Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you not stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time. You will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. And so what we have here is a man who was a sorcerer. And what you'll find in many of these religions out there with people who practice witchcraft and sorcery is that they oppose the word of the Lord. They oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would like us to believe that there are many ways to experience God. But a Christian says only through Jesus. This proconsul was trying, this Elymas was trying to prevent the proconsul from responding to Christ. And the same thing is at work in our society today. That there are many who are seeking to oppose the word of Jesus Christ. The enemy from the very beginning sought to oppose God. And the enemy is still at work influencing people, deceiving people into believing that there are more ways to experience God than just through Jesus Christ. And so they've tried to silence the church in the schools, tried to silence the church in the public sphere. It's a work of darkness, it's spiritual warfare. And we need to call it what it is. One of the things I like about Paul and the early saints is that they weren't concerned about being politically correct. I mean, Paul looked at this man and said to him, "You're a child of the devil." Can you imagine that? "You're a child of the devil. Deal with that." I wanted to say that so much in my class this last spring. But I thought, well, you know, it might be God's will for me to still be here in that institution, still be there directing people and helping them to understand the gospel. So let me bite my tongue. But friends, if they had walked through these doors, I'd have to tell them, "You're a child of the devil. You're practicing witchcraft that's from the devil. And you and I need to know the truth." We might not be always be able to express it right there on the spot, but we should know in our minds what is from God and what is not from God. And there's no compromise. In one of my classes, one young man was so deceived. He said that Islam is the most peaceful religion that there is. Islam, of all religions, he said, is the most peaceful religion that there is. I had to hold myself from laughing. But that's a deception that the enemy has out there painting the minds of these young people, because he knew somebody was a Muslim who told him that. And so I tried to say to him, "You just look at what's happening across the world. And you tell me how peaceful that religion is. I don't have to tell you. You just look, just observe." Friends, that religion is from the devil. Trust me. Any religion that will just execute people just like that is satanic. And if we want a victory in that area, it has to start with us taking authority over these principalities and over these powers so people can be set free. It's not. There's no amount of debating. There's no amount of arguing. It's a spiritual thing. If we want to keep our nation free, truly free, spiritually free, we need to start taking authority over these spirits, because they're coming to the shores of this nation. And people want us to believe that there's a difference between the ISIS and Islam. Well, look at it, friends. In every nation where you have Islam, you have all of these extremists that's coming off as offshoots. Because the religion breeds violence. It's from the devil. And so, Paul looked at this man, Elymas, and says, "You're a child of the devil, an enemy of righteousness. Because in Wicca you can live any way you want to live. And then come in your little circle, especially on May Day or October 31st, and do a little thing and cast a little spell. It's from the devil." And so Paul says, "You're full of deceit and trickery or fraud. These are sometimes false ministers. Sometimes they creep into the church. Paul talked to them in 2 Corinthians and says, "These are false apostles, because they're teaching you another way to salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Another way to find God." And they seek to pervert the word of the Lord. They seek to bring in all sorts of other stuff into it and to explain away the obvious and clear teaching of Scripture. You don't need to have finished grade 6 to be able to read the Bible and know what is right from what is wrong. It's pretty clear. And so when people come and they distort things and say, "Well, it doesn't really mean that, it meant this," it's from the enemy trying to allow sin to be accepted by people. And that's what the kingdom of darkness does. And Satan's kingdom, my friends, is well organized, as I have there in the notes. Jesus himself said it. He says, "A kingdom that is divided cannot stand." And so Satan's kingdom is well organized. And Jesus said that if you want to have victory, they have to bind the strong man. You have to deal with the strong man who's in control of stuff. And so, sometime in the next couple of months, we'll talk some more about spiritual warfare. But we need to appreciate that Satan's kingdom is well organized. And so if we want to see victory at different levels, you have to know who to deal with so people can be set free. In the lives of individuals, sometimes our strongholds have been established, ways of thinking that need to be brought down, plus spirits that need to be cast out so people can walk in freedom. You know, communities are a similar thing. Let me read another scripture from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 43. It says, "When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says, 'I'll return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation." And what Jesus here was saying is that on a personal level, when somebody gets free, they need to have Christ come into their life, they need to have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But at last, the phrase, it says, "This is how it will be with this wicked generation." The principle applies beyond just the individual. It applies in society. That's what's happening in the Middle East, friends. People don't realize that. You remove somebody who was influenced by the devil. You remove this man, Osama bin Laden. And something more evil, more vicious, comes into its place, because the place was left unoccupied. No gospel was there. Nothing was put there to keep back the forces of darkness. And that's why we look back and we wonder, where did this ISIS come from? It's a devil who was regrouped, who says, no. Osama was too soft. I'm going to come this time and they're not going to be able to uproot me. That's what's happening, friends. It's spiritual warfare.
Right.
And so if we want to see victory in the Middle East, that Prince of Persia is over there, we need to understand how to fight. We need to understand how to take a stand. We need to understand how to deal with things in the heavenlies. And when you've removed that thing, for the gospel to come in, that's done in the former USSR, where the gospel comes in, so there's no void. Because if there's a void, the enemy is going to regroup and it's going to come back seven times worse. The same thing for a nation. It's a principle that's there. And so the church needs to understand these things and stop playing games. We're in the middle of warfare. It's not time for game playing. Let's talk for a little bit about the kingdom of God. One of the scriptures I was taught very early after I became spirit-filled is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 from verse 10. This is what the Lord said to his people. Let there be no one found among you who sacrifices his daughter or son, or who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interpret omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. And so the word of God makes it clear that amongst the people of God, there should not be found anyone who practices divination, no one who practices sorcery, no one who interprets omens or engages in witchcraft, no Ouija board, no one who casts spells. You don't need no medium, you don't need to talk to nobody who has died. No communication with the dead. Because, friends, when you seek to go through these things, what you're actually doing is communing with the devil himself. Because the Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. When people die, they don't hang around. And so anybody that people are communicating with, it's a spirit, a familiar spirit. The work of darkness, bringing deception to the lives of people. And so we need to realize this and be able to instruct people. One of my sisters, there was a time when she didn't know this, even though she grew up. What do you say here around here? God, Lord, bless them, or something like that. Bless their heart. She grew up, as I did, in the Presbyterian church, where they don't teach you anything spiritual. All they teach you is just love God and love your fellow man. They don't teach you anything spiritual. And so when she was having some issues in her life, she went to one of these spiritist people who gave her something to wear, and before you know it, she had all sort of problems. And so I called her aside and I said, listen to me. That's from the enemy. That's a work of darkness. And the light shone, and she got revelation and understanding. And she yielded her life completely to Christ, got rid of all of those things, and walked in freedom. So you don't need to get any guidance from anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to his word and his spirit will speak to you and direct you. Don't let nobody come and tell you anything about yourself. Just stop them and say, listen, I don't need to know. I mean, I've lived it, so I know, so you don't need to tell me anything else. Not to participate. I don't need to read no horoscope. So in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ is the head. That's why it says in Colossians, it's translated us, transferred us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. God has appointed his son as head over the kingdom. And wherever this kingdom of God goes, wherever people receive it, it uproots the kingdom of darkness and sets people free. And that's why Philip was able to set this lady free, because the kingdom of God invaded her life. And so, friends, we have a message. We have hope. We have something to say to people who are controlled, who have some issues in their life, that the kingdom of God will come and set you free.
Amen.
God will set you free. You don't have to live in torment. God will set you free. Jack can tell you. You don't have to live your life with post-traumatic stress. God will heal you and restore you. That's the type of God that we serve. So the kingdom, that's why it says, they believe Philip preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's through the name of Christ that we enter into the kingdom. But it's good news about the kingdom. It's good news that God has come to set you free. You don't have to live like that. There's something better. You are made for something better than that. And that excites me. It excites me because our society has become so spiritual and a lot of people are in bondage and we have the answer. It's the kingdom of Almighty God. Yes. Amen. People can live in peace. They can sleep in peace because of the kingdom of God. They don't have to be tormented. They don't have to live all their lives on some sort of lithium medication. They can be set free. And so the roots and replaces the kingdom of darkness. And so in the kingdom of God, we experience freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from destructive patterns of living. Our lives are changed. And if we allow the kingdom of God to invade every area of our lives, we will be surprised to see the level of victory that there is for us in the kingdom of Almighty God. Many of the children that they bring to my wife who say they have seen people in their homes and they've seen their grandfather and some of them can explain things that their parents never told them about because the enemy revealed it to them, things that are true. And as she gets a little foothold in there, she can pray for those children and see victory, see lives change and parents come back with testimonies. You understand what I'm saying, church? And many of you have friends who these things are happening and they don't want to tell you because they're not so sure you can help them. But let them know that you can help because you're a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Right.
Oh, we're talking about this triumphant kingdom. It comes to overtake. It comes to uproot. It comes to rule. Paul says in the kingdom of God, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a different way of living, a different way of functioning. This kingdom comes with signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know where some people get this idea that miracles cease. If miracles cease, it means the kingdom of God has ceased. Because the kingdom of God comes with miracles. Paul says it didn't come just in speaking word, but in demonstration of the Spirit's power. If the kingdom of darkness is still alive, we still need miracles so people can believe in the true and living God.
Amen.
And so the kingdom of God comes, my friends, with miracles. And so as time gets, as people gets more spiritual, they become more open to realize that there's a God who will bring healing into their lives. And that's one of the reasons over the last couple of years there's been an emphasis on healing. And people going forth and praying for people and people being healed so they can see that the kingdom of God is right here and now.
Amen.
Oh, what a God we serve.
Yeah.
And so Christians, you and me, we have power over the works of darkness.
Right.
The disciples were surprised when they came back and said, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus says, yes. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of darkness. And so friends, you don't have to have all these things in your house. Your kids should be able to sleep at night. There was a time when my son, something was harassing him at night. And so we had to teach him how to walk in victory. And so now he sleeps at night in victory. And so it doesn't matter who you are, the enemy tries to sneak into your house and to do all sort of stuff, and you need to be on your guard and not to be surprised and not to say, well, you know, no, deal with it quickly.
Right.
And so teach your children how to wage warfare.
Right.
Because the devil understands when you know your authority, he will respond. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So this is not some magic thing. As the sons of Sceva discovered, the name of Christ is not some abracadabra. The devil knows us. He knows where we stand. He knows if we're true or not. He knows if we have a relationship with God or not. And so that's why James said, submit to God. Submit your life to God. Submit your will to God. Submit your ways to God. Because when we do that, the devil knows that you're under authority. As the centurion said to Christ, I realize you're a man under authority. When you speak, things happen. And the same thing, the devil knows that we're under authority when our lives are submitted to Christ. And then now you can resist the devil. Then now you can say, devil, get up out of my house. Then now when you go through your children's room and you see all sort of stuff that don't look right, you just tear it up and throw it out because it's your house. And we don't want to have anything in our homes that the enemy will feel comfortable being there. Turn up the music. Put on Spirit FM. Put on whatever you need to put on so the presence of God is in your house. When people come through your door, they sense of a peace of Almighty God. And you see, when your children live in that atmosphere, when they go somewhere where the enemy's at work, they can sense the difference. They feel uncomfortable. They're like, something's not right here. Let me get out of here. We're talking about the kingdom of God invading the lives of people and setting people free. And the good news is there's more to come. That what we're experiencing now is just a little taste. This is just a little taste of what there is to come. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's coming a time when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. In other words, the kingdom of God will be established upon earth. And so what we're experiencing now is just a little taste of the future kingdom of God that's going to be established upon earth. But thank God for the taste. If the taste is this good, I can't wait for the fullness. If the taste is this good, I can't wait for the fullness, my friends. There's more to come. It's getting sweeter and sweeter every day. I'm excited. You see, when you know you're victorious, then you can be excited. Then you can celebrate. Then you can rejoice. No matter what the circumstances look like. When the enemy comes with his lies, you can laugh because you know it's just a bag of lies. Let us stand. And so one of the things that the early church went about preaching was the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only way for people to experience freedom. It's through the name of Jesus Christ. It's by them allowing the kingdom of God to invade their lives. And when you understand who you are as a child of God, you don't walk in fear, but you walk with faith. You walk with confidence because you know God is with you. The psalmist says the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that serve him. Even Philip himself, even Philip himself, it is said there in chapter 8 that the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke to him and says, go on down the road there. And he started to move in a new dimension. And he went down the road and there was the Ethiopian eunuch. And he preached the gospel to the eunuch and before he knew it, he's translated to another place. Moving in a different dimension altogether. For people like me, it's like it boggles my mind. How can that be? But there are dimensions in God yet to be walked, yet to be experienced, saints. Don't settle for where you're at. There's much more. God has much more for you and much more for me. And as you go along, set people free. Don't be afraid to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Be like the apostles. I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but all I have is the name of Jesus Christ. He brings freedom. He brings healing. He brings deliverance. We're talking about the triumphant kingdom of God. That's what we're a part of. We're not a part of some little mamby-pamby weak thing. It's only this type of kingdom that can bring a change in the life of a Muslim. And many Muslims have been seeing visions of Christ and submitting their lives to him. I have a book I'm reading at home called A Wind in the House of Islam. It's talking about the wind of the Spirit moving amongst Muslims and converting them, revealing to them who Jesus Christ really is. But that's the type of God that we serve. Let us bow our heads. And so this morning, as we are standing here, there may be someone, you're not sure where you stand in terms of the kingdom of God. Are you yielded? Have you submitted totally to the Lord? Or are you just half and half? And you're saying this morning, Joe Campbell, I want to submit.